Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. We are happy to be here with you today. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. We are Heralds of Hope, and our goal is to use media like radio, internet, and books to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. Think about that. Do you think it is possible to accomplish the Great Commission? Can we go everywhere and teach all nations? Do you think we have the resources necessary to accomplish this? I would say yes, absolutely. Do we have the funds to accomplish this? If God's people will align our hearts with His, funding will not be a problem. The hard part is keeping our hearts in line with His. Here at Heralds of Hope, we believe it is possible, and we plan to do our part as God leads us. This belief leads us to teach the Bible via radio, like this. So, if you can, turn with us now to Exodus. We will continue our journey through this Old Testament book with our Bible teacher, J. Mark Horst. And here he is to teach us today's lesson.
When we take time to study the history of God's people, we can learn many foundational truths about life. But surely one of them is this: God doesn't forget. Humans forget, but not God. When He seems to have forgotten, it's because it takes time for Him to work out His purposes, and He is surely working behind the scenes. I want to show you how this truth is illustrated in Scripture, from Exodus chapter 6 and verses 1 to 13. We will base our thoughts for this meditation on that text. That's Exodus 6, 1 to 13. If you're able, follow along in your Bible as I read. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will let you go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, "I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah I was not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning that which I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord." And Moses spoke these words unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not to Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land." And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, "Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips?" And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now immediately before this reminder, Moses had complained to God that nothing was happening in the fulfillment of God's call, God's promise. There was no deliverance in sight. And yet, in the text I just read, we find several proofs which will surely convince us that God doesn't forget. When God makes a promise, He keeps it. His promises are not like the promises of men. They're not like papers to be discarded or like treaties to be broken. And so we look at the first proof to Moses that God does not forget. It is the appeal to remembrance. God recalls the history of how he came to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those were the patriarchs, the progenitors, the fathers of the Hebrew people. And they lived long before Moses' time. God said, "I appeared to them by my name, El Shaddai, or God Almighty." But as the Redeemer God, he was not known to them. So here he is telling Moses, "This is how I am going to be known from now on." Jehovah, as defined and described in this text, means that he is the Redeemer. So there was the appearance of God to the fathers and the appointment of the land. God said, "I have made my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan." That was the land in which Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived as strangers. Their pilgrimages took them across the land from one part to another. They had no permanent dwelling place in the land that God said that he was going to give to them and to their descendants. Now to Moses, the Lord appeals to this remembrance. He has not forgotten his covenant. He has not forgotten the agreement he made with the people of Israel, and indeed with their fathers, that this land would belong to the seed or the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God further appeals to the covenant. In fact, he says specifically, "I have remembered my covenant." The memory of the covenant grew out of the fact that the people of Israel were enduring a time of great suffering. He said, "I have heard the groanings of the children of Israel, and I have come now to deliver them." You see, God never forgets. Our redemption also grows out of God hearing our groanings under the burden of sin. That's why he sent Jesus to be our Redeemer. He rescued us from our bondage to the power of sin, and he has set us free to worship and serve him. You and I are the beneficiaries of the new covenant, which was ratified by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then in the second proof that God set forth, he gave the proposal of redemption. The Lord referred to redemption when he was talking to Moses. I want you to observe closely the various aspects of this redemption. God said, "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." One aspect of redemption is clearly demonstrated here, and that's deliverance. God said he was going to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. He was going to deliver them from the bondage and then bring them out with an outstretched arm. Our deliverance from sin is a very important part of our redemption through Christ. And the deliverance from Egypt was a type or a shadow of the deliverance you and I experience when we place our faith in Jesus for salvation. Another part of redemption is the distinction that it brought to the people of Israel. God said he would take them to himself for a people, and he would be to them their God. That is a particular distinctive role that no other people of the earth have ever been called to fill in quite the same way. Now today, all believers, according to 1 Peter 2:9, are a chosen people, a holy nation, proclaiming the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the Bible makes that clear in many places. But I would remind you, the distinctive role of the people of Israel throughout the generations is one to which no other people group have been called. And then redemption also has in it a determination, because God said he would do what he had sworn to Abraham to do. Redemption means that God is going to carry out that which he has determined to do. And so the Lord said, "I am going to fulfill that which I have sworn to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And then he said, "And I will give it to you for an heritage, because I am the Lord." We can depend upon this proposal of redemption because the Lord is who he is. If God were a man, then we couldn't depend on him. But since he is not a man, he does not forget what he has purposed and proposed to do. And then there's a final proof which reveals the fact that God doesn't forget. It is the progress of reaction. Moses spoke to the children of Israel in harmony with what God had said to him. But they wouldn't listen because they were in such great anguish of spirit. Remember, they were under cruel bondage. And God had spoken of a time to come, but the people couldn't hear it because the present was too difficult to bear. Here's Moses' reaction. He came to God and said, "I told you that would be the situation. I've gone in to the children of Israel, and they won't listen to me. So what can I do by going to Pharaoh?" Moses might also have reminded the Lord that he had said that very thing when he was in the backside of the desert of Sinai. But God insisted. God wouldn't take no for an answer. He would not allow Moses to evade his calling. Instead, the Lord said to him again, very emphatically, that he was surely going to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And he gave Moses and Aaron the charge to the children of Israel and to Pharaoh the king, that he was going to bring them out of Egypt so that they could worship him. We need to remember, God always has the last word. It's clearly presented in the Bible. So you have now the progress of reaction from the people to Moses to God. And once again, we see clearly that what God has promised, he will surely do. There can be no doubt about that in our minds. So here then are the proofs that God does not forget: his appeal to remembrance, his proposal of redemption, and the progress of reaction. These truths are still valid today. You too can find in them the proofs that God does not forget you.
Thanks, J. Mark, for teaching us more from Exodus. And thank you for being there. If you would like this teaching, or if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. I'll give you our information shortly. I love how Exodus teaches us that God is in control and he is at work. He always has been and he always will be. We can trust him right now, no matter what we are experiencing. We won't always understand him, but we can trust him. His timing might be different than ours. Think about Moses. And he might not do what we think he should be doing. Remember what happened to Joseph? However, we have the benefit of looking back at many years of history, and we see God is sovereign. His purposes will be accomplished. This is his story, and he is the author. If you are interested, we have a study guide for Exodus available. It is a small booklet designed to help you learn more from each of these lessons. We call it the Hope Herald, and if you would like one, all you have to do is ask. Here is how you can connect with us. One of the best ways is via email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. While you're there, please look around for more teaching like this. On our website, you will also find other resources available from Heralds of Hope. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Thanks again for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as we continue our study in Exodus. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with a verse from 1 Corinthians 10. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Blessings to you as you glorify him.